Look at us. We've been here for 30 minutes and we still have yet to
but we have 13 more players than we had when we started this.
We do. That's the fun part about it. Everybody, welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show. Dylan Mark here, hanging out here with you on this would you consider it a beautiful Monday afternoon? I know I always say that heading into the show. I remember last week it was like starting to rain whenever I said that. I'm just like, I'm gonna roll with it. It's whatever.
St. John's just hired Rick Pitino.
They did. Oh man, I thought they were about to, or at least there were reports that they were about to. Thank you, John Rothstein, for that news.
I'd say when we record, it was Woj and Thamel on ESPN.
Dang.
But I'd say we just kind of preview the main five that are going to get drafted. Mm-hmm. Talk about Anders, probably the second most out of those. Yep. Shedrick, and then we kind of just list off the other ones.
Yeah.
Killian Zaire, Brandon Council, John Samuel Schenker, Marquise Burks, Marcus Bragg, and Morris Joseph Jr.
Cool. So in case you guys don't know what we're doing today, we are going to be going over, well, you read the title when you clicked on this, so what are you doing? But we are going to be going over some of Auburn's pro day prospects that they're going to be having perform tomorrow. Dylan and I have compiled a list, mostly Dylan, of kind of explaining what some of these prospects could be doing for the NFL draft. And then we're also going to go over like the five or six players that we think are going to end up not making the list in Dylan's terms before we start a recording to see who can make an XFL roster. So shout out to those guys. Anyways, yeah. Dylan, do you want to start at the top with our boy Derek Hall?
Oh yeah. It's I've made my own mock draft cause I'm a sicko and I just love doing stuff like that. Derek Hall is the only one I have going in the first round. I think he's probably the only one with any real traction to the first round. And it's easy to say why. He's a 6'3", 254 muscle of a man who can run a 4.5 40, which if you didn't watch the combine, go watch Derek Hall run the 40. It would terrify you if you're a quarterback. NFL comparison right now on NFL.com is Carl Lawson.
Hilarious.
And, you know, Auburn to Auburn blood right there. But Derek Hall is just him. He's really good. Whoever gets him, it's a steal wherever he goes.
I think he's the most solid player for Auburn in this draft. Potentially, like you mentioned, 6'3", 255 pounds, just a mammoth of a human being. Performed very well at the combine, along with a couple of other Auburn players as well. I think my concern for Hall is after getting to watch him in Mobile, Zach Blackerby and I have discussed this at length. He is solid at individual things he does. I think the best thing he has going for him is the fact that he has a really solid first step. But past that, he struggles to finish through contact at times, like to present other moves outside of just the initial get you out of position, make you uncomfortable, put you in a place where you have to back down. Initially, I'm curious to see if he develops that, because at Mobile, going up against some of these other offensive linemen, some of these senior offensive linemen, I'm not saying he was getting beat. He performed well. I want to be clear. But if we're talking about this kid being like an elite first round prospect, I think there are some things that he's going to need to learn. Like Dylan said, he loves it. Before the show, he said he loves it whenever people say that with the right coach, somebody can end up being really good. But Derek Hall, I think. I won't say that. I'll say with more development, will become, I think, what could be a first-round starter. According to NFL.com, they say that he will eventually be a starter at some point in the NFL. I think that's definitely a possibility. Again, probably the strongest prospect Auburn has in this draft. The next guy here, I think, has to be Colby Wooden, another defensive lineman for the Tigers that has performed well and been very versatile. I think that's the word that's been thrown around with him a lot throughout his time with the Tigers, considering him like as an NFL prospect. I believe he's like a top 20 defensive lineman in this class, Dylan. You can check me on that, but another solid trench player for the Tigers.
Yeah, so he's listed as a defensive end, which if you don't know, the defensive end position has been split off into defensive ends and edge rushers. Mm-hmm. So he's one of the top defensive ends in the draft, and I think he's one of the more slept on prospects. I think if one of these Auburn guys were to be seen as a steal, I think Colby Wooden kind of has Derek Hall beaten that category, because Colby Wooden has probably the same amount of potential, maybe more, just because his his athletic prowess at his size is ridiculous. He ran a 4.79 40, which I don't expect most of these. Like, I don't think any of the five that were in the combine are going to run the 40 again. Mm-hmm. That's just how that usually goes. There's going to be there to talk. But Colby Wooden, athletic freak of a man. I think all four of these defensive players, or all three, yeah, four of these defensive players are all athletic monsters. And I think that's what makes them so valuable to the NFL. And that's why people keep drafting from Auburn, because defensive players from Auburn tend to do very well. I mean, look at Rudy Ford. He's a backup safety who's got paid a lot of money to be a backup safety because he's that good. But I look at Colby Wooden. I see 6'4", 273. Dude's going to be a monster. Expect him to become like a Marlon Davidson type player, where he's probably on a, I don't want to say a lesser team, but I'm a Panthers fan, so it comes off as a little derogatory towards the Falcons. But a player who's young, who will be making plays for years to come.
I think that he has, like I mentioned, because of his versatility, I think he's got the ability to really be somebody that I don't necessarily know if he'll develop into some type dominant type starter, but he's got the ability to hang around the league for a while. Some knocks on him, according to scouts, is his wingspan. He's not got a lot of length to him. But overall, I think it's kind of opposite of Derek Hall and the fact that he's very technical in what he does. Apparently he's got very light feet, but he's got very heavy hands, according to not just one website, but multiple that I'm looking at that have dropped down a scout of him. Probably one of the more technical players that I think Auburn has had coming out of the draft in a while. A better pass rusher than a better run stopper, but overall, again, like I said, just a very solid prospect. Could be somebody that develops into something solid for you. I'm not saying he's going to be dominant. I'm saying I think he could develop into something that ends up being like a 77, 80 overall in Madden at some point here in years to come. So that's my comp. Welcome to the Auburn Daily Podcast. The only the hardest hitting analysis from your boy. So we've done the two. We've done the two edge rushers. We've also got Ekwu Liotta here. Who is also listed as an edge, if I'm not mistaken, right, Dylan? Or is he?
Yeah, he is.
Defensive lineman.
So he's an edge.
Ekwu is our next guy up. Transferred in from Northwestern a couple of years ago. Tell me a little bit about Ekwu and where draft boards have him going.
So most draft boards have him going probably 4th to 7th. His injuries kind of derailed his career at Auburn. But if he didn't get hurt, he'd be listed in the same category as probably Colby and Derek. In this draft, he did not do anything in the combine, which due to a shoulder sprain, I believe it was either a shoulder sprain or a sprain somewhere, where he only kind of took part in the interview process because, you know, you got to look good for the prospects. But from what I've heard, he's still a very highly talented guy to draft experts. If you go through his strengths and weaknesses, he has way more strengths than weaknesses because that's how good he was when he wasn't hurt. And I think if you look at Auburn's defense with Ekwu uninjured, with Derek Hall and Colby Wooden, this defensive line becomes a little bit more of a force to be reckoned with, and Auburn probably wins one or two more games.
Bowl eligibility? Do we want to see this team in a bowl? I mean, that's a question you have to ask. But I think the thing with Ekwu that I noticed last year, let me rephrase because it's not last year. In 2021, whenever he stepped onto the field for Auburn, something that you saw even in Auburn's big time games, like against Alabama, you saw something that you're seeing in some of these scouting reports is he has a very strong second effort. He's got a great second motor. He's got great pursuit. I think that's probably one of the strengths of Ekwu that I noticed whenever I was watching him. Again, I'm not an NFL scout. I don't know what to look like when it comes to like hand technique and different things like that, and like how they maintain balance and how they get off blocks and different things like that. But as far as what I've seen, he's got a lot of really solid pursuit. He understands how to get to that second motor whenever he's going after the quarterback. And that is something that could end up being valuable for him. If he's trying to make his way up some depth charts here in the future, that's something that could probably be used to his benefit. I think that you look at him where he lines up. Like you mentioned, he's an edge player in a 3-4. According to NFL.com, he's an outside linebacker. Strong side outside linebacker, essentially an edge in some worlds. But I think that he, like you mentioned, 4 to 7 is probably where he's going to end up going. It's a shame that he did not get to perform last season because again, like you mentioned, Dylan, this team probably performs a little bit better with him on the field. And I don't know to what degree, how much better they play, but I certainly think that it makes sense to say that they would have performed a lot better. I want to switch over to offense here. As we got three players, we got two on offense, we got one on special teams before we dive into the extras, or in Dylan's words, the outcasts. I'm kidding. I'm just making stuff up as we go. Tank Bigsby is the big time piece on offense that the Tigers are seeing depart. The Atlanta native is one of the most highly talented running backs that the Tigers have had come out over the past, I would say, the last 5 years. You know, dating back all the way before Kerryon Johnson left in 2017, I should say. What do you think about Tank Bigsby as a whole in this draft, Dylan, and where do you see him potentially falling?
So this is a pretty loaded running back class. So, you know, it doesn't help that you're with Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Devon Achane from Texas A&M is in this class. This class is just loaded from top to bottom. So Tank is kind of listed as a mid-round to late-round prospect because of how just stacked this class is. This class could end up being one of the best running back class, could also end up being one of the worst. The running back position has lost its value in the NFL as of late. The only ones that really matter are those big-time running backs like Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, and so on and so on. But Tank Bigsby offers a lot of versatility. That people like to talk very low of his catching ability, but thing is, Auburn didn't really use him as a receiving back. It seemed they kind of took him out in receiving plays, which is kind of weird because he's good in open space. He has decent hands when he has caught a ball. I don't think he has many drops, but 4.56 40 from him, strong runner, sneaky speed, and I think whoever gets him is going to be very lucky. I don't see him being a starter right away. I'll probably be a hot minute for you to see him as a starter, but I think he'll be a valuable running back on anybody's roster.
I'm very curious to see who picks him up because, like you mentioned, there are a few players that are ahead of him in this draft. Where he falls, I think, is going to be interesting. I've heard a couple different people, I don't know if they've been serious, I don't know if they've been joking, say that the Bills may be interested in picking him up as a potential backup. I think that works in my mind. I think that works. Another solid combine from him, outside of the fact that, according to what I'm seeing, the man cannot jump, which I don't necessarily think is needed for the running back position, but that's neither here nor there. According to NFL Draft Buzz, he is the fifth best prospect in this draft at the running back position. Like you mentioned, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Devon Achane, and Zach Charbonnet from UCLA, all ahead of him. Tyjae Spears actually behind him, which is kind of surprising based on what we saw out of Spears this season. But Bigsby, like you said, is he a starter? I don't know. I'm not saying he won't ever develop into one. I'm just saying as of now, it makes sense for a team to pick him up as either a complimentary back or as somebody that just holds down that two spot in the rotation. But Bigsby, I just don't see him flopping. I don't think that this is a prospect that could end up just kind of fading into irrelevancy. I think he's probably got some time in the league.
Yeah, that we are moving into the world of where running backs by committee is now what the NFL is kind of moving to right now.
Dylan, do you know what I just realized? I did it while we were talking before the show, and I did it again. We skipped Owen Papo, right?
Yeah, I was wondering when we were going to get to Owen Papo.
I'm tripping on Owen Papo. I have his name written down in between the defensive and offensive players, and once again, I just skipped the man. Let's talk a little bit about Owen Papo. Obviously, a five-star coming out of high school, big-time player, physically really, really impressed at the combine, ran a 4.39. Just a solid outing from him. But according to most draft sites, they're not like crazy high on Papo,
which is crazy to think about because he's an athletic monster. You don't have linebackers. I almost call him running back because he ran a 4.39. He's a linebacker that can run a 4.39. People. That is tied for second since 2003 at a linebacker position. And I'm gonna, if I say Owen Papa too many times, Harrison Tarr might join the session.
Someone said him blank real quick.
Yeah, for all of you out there who don't understand, Owen Papa is not seen as highly as most linebacker prospects because he doesn't offer the pass rushing ability that most linebackers tend to have. But people don't understand is he's more of a pass coverage, which I guess gets frowned upon when you look at draft prospects. But whenever I look at linebackers, I kind of want that guy who can cover a tight end, who can cover the middle of the field, who can cover ground very fast. That's what you want in a linebacker like Owen Papo. I think the undersized thing is probably hurting him too. He's 6 foot tall even. But I think what we've been kind of looking at Owen Papo as a prospect, maybe play him as a nickel.
That's what I was about to say. Maybe try him out as
a safety. But, I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with a guy who can run 4.39 and is just an athletic monster.
So I'm going to read his overview on NFL.com, and then I'm going to say what you just said. Undersized linebacker with impressive build, good speed, and long arms. Despite all of his traits, Papo failed to rack up impact production during his time at Auburn due to his lack of instincts and playmaking ability. He struggles to leverage the gaps and take on climbing blockers effectively, so a move to will linebacker should allow him to play more run and chase, which suits him. He doesn't look like an NFL starter on tape, but third down and special teams potential will give him a shot at a backup role. See, here's what I'm thinking. Instead of having him as being like a third down piece, still though, I mean, you could do that as like a nickel or a safety. I think because of the build, because of the scouting report, one of his weaknesses, like you said, Dylan, is that he's not heavy enough for interior work, unable to sufficiently stack and shed blockers. He sounds like somebody that should be working in the defensive backfield then. If he's got long arms, if he doesn't have great instincts, but he can fly to the ball, he should be playing safety. I think you should drop him into pass coverage and let him work as a nickel or something like that. I think it makes sense.
Yeah. I've been comparing him to Isaiah Simmons as a player. Yeah. That's I've also compared him at safety. I've compared him to a Cam Chancellor as a safety because Cam Chancellor's never been that ball watching safety or ball hawk safety. There we go. He's been more of your, I'm going to run you down. I'm going to hit you as hard as I possibly can. And that's kind of safety I could see Owen Papo being.
Yep. And now do you want somebody that's 6 foot tall back at safety? I think it just depends. I don't know if that height is concerning there, but I think again, pass coverage suits Papo, and finding a way to get an athletic freak, like obviously considering the handle, the Twitter handle, the name there, on the field, it just makes sense. It makes sense to try and find ways to get him involved before just discarding him and being like, he doesn't work out on this position, so we're not playing him. Before we get to the final couple of players that may be interesting prospects, and then we'll get to the outcast, as Dylan likes to say. I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. This season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers. You can predict the over or under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options on top of this, so you can still get paid if you win only like 3 of 5 picks or 2 of 3. You can have multiple sports in the same parlay as well. And best of all, you can use promo code Auburn, AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. Again, that's promo code Auburn for double on your first deposit. Obviously, college basketball season has come and gone. Baseball is still in full effect. MLB is about to start. The Braves are about to kick things off here, so Prize Picks would definitely be a place to go check all of that out. Again, promo code Auburn is what you want to use there. So we've got a couple of more players that we want to get to before Dylan starts trashing all of Auburn's irrelevant prospects. I'm just picking and teasing. But two players here, Shedrick Jackson and Anders Carlson. Who do you want to start with first here, Dylan? Because I think you've got some opinions on both these guys.
I think Anders is probably the better option because he was invited to the combine. So he's listed as more of, I don't want to say a serious prospect, but he got acknowledged by the NFL.
There you go.
Just start off with Anders Carlson. Good size for a kicker. Dealt with some injuries throughout his time at Auburn, which kind of hindered his progress. There was some times where you didn't really know whether or not Anders could make the kick or not, and that probably has to do with the injuries as well. But it looked like as the years went along, unless something happened with the staff, if the staff got worse, Anders kind of got worse too. Mm-hmm. You hate to see it. He had a lot of hype coming in to his tenure at Auburn, but that's just kind of what happened. I think he has the talent to make it on a roster, and if he can prove himself, then he'll be a kicker for a long time in the league. But I think the injuries really hindered him, his chances of really getting drafted.
If you'll do me a favor, will you please read the strengths and weaknesses of his bio? And in no means is this a reflection of what Auburn Daily thinks of Anders Carlson. Will you please do me the favor of reading those?
This is per NFL.com. Just cannot stress that enough. Per NFL.com, Lance Zierlein wrote it. Lance Zierlein, not Dahl.
Me.
Zierlein. So Anders is listed as strengths. Brother is an NFL kicker and Daniel Carson. Possesses good size and has made kicks in high-pressure situations. And his final strength is was 4-for-4 from 40-plus yards and dramatic 2019 Iron Bowl win over Bama. Yep. Weaknesses, career make rate of just 71.8%, struggled to find consistent kickoff depth in 2022, made just 5 of 17 field goals from 50-plus yards, going 0-for-4 since 2021, highly inconsistent on mid-range kicks, and slow operation time leads to blocked kicks.
Man, I definitely do think that Anders has, like you said, the size and the ability to make it to the next level because he's shown it in the past to make those kicks. But like you said, at the end of the day, I think the injuries kind of derailed what could have been. And I'm not going to sit here and dog the coaching staff for Brian Harsin's coaching staff. I'm going to do it. I don't know what the special teams coaching was doing, to be completely honest with you. straight up. I'm sorry. So there's Anders Carlson, Shedrick Jackson as well. So I think it's about time, Dylan, then, that we get to the extras, the extra cast members here that you say could maybe get drafted or find their way into some free agency signing.
I think after we get past Owen and the first five, I think the rest of them are in the undrafted free agent category. Pro days could really help them out, get signed, just get a shot. Starting off, Shedrick, is that what we're starting off with?
Did we not talk about Shedrick? I thought
we kind of mentioned him.
Go ahead. Let's break Shedrick down a little bit further.
So Shedrick Jackson is a 6'2" wide receiver. He declared
allegedly 6'2".
Allegedly 6'2", but he's a great blocker. Can't stress enough. If Auburn had probably thought about it a little bit longer, probably should have bulked him up and just made him a tight end. He would have been a great tight end. But Auburn didn't really suit his play style at wide receiver. He never really had the speed Auburn usually has. His hands at times were a little bit up in the air. He kind of like Sal Cannella is kind of where I'd compare his catching ability. But now Sal Cannella is a great wide receiver in the XFL as we speak.
So here's the comp. He's an XFL receiver.
Shedrick, I don't know if he'll make a roster strictly because of his tape isn't the best, but if blocking is something you're looking for from an NFL wide receiver, Shedrick is, if you had to rank a wide receiver's blocking ability, Shedrick is number one. Mm-hmm. That's going to be my one thing about it. If you bulk him up, turn him into like an Evan Engram type, and probably be a better tight end than Evan Engram because same speed, same height, better blocking.
Yep. Catches as many passes. I'll say it.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
To get to the rest of the guys, we got, 2 O-linemen, 3 D-linemen, and a tight end.
All right.
let's start with Schenk.
All right, John Samuel Schenker. So he was the safety valve, if you will, for Auburn for 35 years. He's been in the program for quite some time. Ended up developing into a pretty decent pass catcher once Auburn started realizing that they could throw the ball his direction. In the last year, I mean, it was less of a realization, more of a question, like, can we get the ball to him? And they tried in different ways. Some failed, some worked. As a whole, not a whole lot of speed there. I don't think you're necessarily asking for that from your tight end, unless you're asking him to be Travis Kelce or George Kittle. But I don't think you are. And as a whole, he's got pretty solid hands for a tight end. I think he could be somebody that ends up working their way onto some type of roster in the league potentially.
Yeah, and he's very solid tight end too. I think the one that's going to dog on him is, of course, the speed. But if he can show that he's a little faster than people think he is, he's a good enough blocker, good enough pass catcher to where he could make a roster and he could be a sneaky tight end in the league. I mean, the tight end rooms usually go 4 or 5 deep in the league now. Mm-hmm. Tight ends are such an important position, which is good. The tight end position is one of my favorite in the sport. So if Shank could fix a little bit of things, get a little faster, I think he can make a roster very easily.
And apparently they've started going 4 or 5 deep in college, because at this point you have guys named Brandon Frazier that are 6'7" that you question if they exist sometimes. It says he's on the roster, but I mean, if you had a 6'7" tight end, wouldn't you want to see him a little bit more? I don't know, but yeah, absolutely. I think Shank could make his way onto some type of depth chart, into some type of rotation. So Shank's our first guy. Who else do we got, Dylan?
All right, just go with the O-line, Killian Zier and Brandon Council. Auburn has a weird magic going on where they always have O-linemen make rosters that weren't the best in college, but somehow possess the X's and O's, the correct tangibles to make a team.
Yeah,
Killian Zier is like 6'7". So that's good enough right there.
Question for you, Dylan. I don't disagree with you. Do you remember the play against Georgia where half the O-line did not block for against the pass rush that was coming? And whenever I say didn't block, I mean they just did not put a hand on them. Was Brandon Council or Killian Zier or was Troxel on this list as well? Were any of those guys involved in that?
More than likely.
I would say in Zaire's corner, the fact that he's got the size could translate. Absolutely. But if I'm an NFL scout and I'm trying to show somebody that could potentially want to sign this guy, that's the first clip I'm showing them. And I'm saying, what do you think happened here? Was it a coaching issue? Is it a them issue? We're asking questions. I think for most of Auburn's offensive line prospects, I get the process of these guys end up finding their way somehow, some way into the league. And they do, and they end up staying. But for guys like Zaire, guys like Council, guys like that have dealt with injury for the majority of their career as well, I'm asking a lot more questions, and I don't think I'm getting a lot of great answers, to be honest.
Yeah, I look at it from when you read these strengths and weaknesses, it never really goes over how many coaches they've had, how many coaches, like position coaches come and go. Like mm-hmm. Auburn had like 3 or 4 last season. You look at the O-line was by far the worst position group on this team last season, but they all possessed the right tangibles. The coaching staff just wasn't there. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know when they were supposed to be in motion, when the pass block, when the run block, when they're supposed to pull a guard. They didn't know. That's just how bad the coaching staff was at the O-line. And I like how Will Friend changed the offense when he became a co-OC, but he didn't really fix the O-line issues. So I look at it from, I never was the highest on Prince Tega as an offensive tackle, but he had the tangibles. And that's why he has a Super Bowl ring right now. That's why he's on the Kansas City Chiefs roster. Now look at it from Killian Zier and Brandon Council's point of view and also Troxel. They have the experience. They have the size. And all you need is, I know I said, I hated saying this. I hate it when they say it about a lot of quarterbacks in this draft. If you get the right coach, you can fix these issues. Because Auburn has a lot of, like on Papo's issues, I would say, derail from the fact that he had 3 or 4 different linebackers coaches in 3 seasons.
Yeah.
That,
question. That are... Did he ever have a good coach? I think that's what we need to ask about most of these prospects. Did they have a guy that knew what they were doing? So,
and the last 3 guys, I guess you can all start with M's. You got Eminem and M. You got Marquise Burks, Marcus Braggs, and Morris Joseph Jr., all defensive linemen. And Auburn is one of the best schools in producing defensive line talent. All these guys, you know, talented, experienced guys. I don't know how possible it is for them to make rosters. The defensive line talent in the NFL is crazy. It seems like every team has a two or three decent defensive linemen, some of which have more. But I think out of this group, I think Burks is probably the most likely to make a roster.
Sure.
I think he was the best performing. I think Bragg has the potential. I don't know about Joseph enough to really put a spin on him.
I think that's how you tier it. I say that now and my mind immediately goes to what tier list can we do on the podcast in the future? Goodness gracious. We should do tier lists of Auburn quarterbacks. That would be so awesome. We should do that. We could do that offline and just upload it to, I'm sorry, I'm spitballing. Dylan, if you're open tomorrow, I've got a project for you.
That's a burner account post right there.
That is a burner account and a half post. I do think that's how you tier it. I think that Burks is probably the best prospect for Auburn. I'm going to keep it real with you. I forgot he existed for a brief moment there because Auburn, he's been here as kind of like some defensive tackle, nose tackle type of guy, somebody that's in the middle of your defense. And Auburn's had for 2 years in a row, Tony Fair, Jason Jones, transfer in and kind of just be the guy that's in front of him. And I'm not saying he's a bad player physically. I think he's been impressive. And like you said, he's the best performing out of the three. But do any of these guys have like a legitimate shot? First of all, they're not getting drafted. I think the question you ask is, are they getting a free agent signing? And I could see one of these three guys getting it. And like I said, the most likely out of the three is Burks. So that's everybody, I think. Are there any other fringe types that we could possibly throw out there that could just like magically get a signing and we'd be like, oh, hey, there's that guy.
I'm going to get some discrepancies from my College Loop co-host. I like to make a lot of jokes about this guy, but I'm completely dead serious about him. If Quattlebaum, if a long snapper would have declared for the draft, I honestly think there's a world where he would have made a roster. I think Quattlebaum is a really good long snapper. He finished in one of the all SEC teams. And I like to show love to all those positions that don't get love. But Jaden Quattlebaum is really good. And Auburn has produced a Pro Bowl level long snapper before. And Quattlebaum looks like he's next up.
Here's the question I have. How do NFL teams go about acquiring long snappers? Do they literally wait until the draft's over and they just pick from the litter?
So Josh Harris, I remember he got promised. I got told a story by someone. It was wild that the story came up. But Josh Harris wasn't a football player whenever he first got here. He was a frat guy who just did a tryout. But then he got a call from the Falcons that they were going to draft him, and they didn't. And they just signed him right after the draft, and they said, right, hey, this is how it worked out. Long snappers can get drafted. It won't be early. It'll be more the seventh, sixth round. But a really good long snapper you can't pass on, just because long snappers are one of the most important positions that don't get talked about. Because if you have a guy who can't get the ball to your punter or your holder correctly, you're going to lose a lot of games by 3 points, and you're going to have a lot of bad punts.
The San Diego Chargers, the 2010 San Diego Chargers, are the perfect example of why special teams matter.
Yeah, so. Number one in offense, number one in defense, dead last in special teams, missed the playoffs.
Yeah, you should go. You boys should go watch the SB Nation video on that. That's quality content right there. And with the first pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the who's it's the Panthers, right? It's your Panthers. Yeah, they're picking Jacob Quattlebaum. Absolutely.
I would not be upset about it. Wouldn't be upset. You would be upset.
Who's the next pick? Who's the next picks that Carolina has? Is it in the first round?
Since Quattlebaum, our next pick's in the third round, but since Quattlebaum decided not to declare, I guess I have to settle for CJ Stroud. Mm-hmm. It hurts. I hate it. But you know what? Can you do?
You know, it's sometimes things, prospects that you don't really care for just fall into your hands, and you just got to make do with what you got there. So anyway, that's gonna do it, I think, for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. A little bit more of a relaxed episode. I enjoy talking and just shooting the bull with Dylan on Monday. So this is probably more of the format I want to do moving forward. Personally, I don't think anybody's going to stop me because it's our show. But anyway, you can follow the show on Twitter at the Auburn Daily. You can follow all of our written work over at auburndaily.com. You can also check us out on Facebook as well. If you're listening on podcast, if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure to like the video or follow and rate the podcast if you're listening there. We will see you all tomorrow for another episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.